Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Way Baptist Church radio program. We'd like to take this time to invite you to come be with us. The church is located at 3904 Tryon Courthouse Road in Cherville, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10, preaching at 11, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday night at 7. Our pastor is Brother Kenneth Queen. We hope you come be with us. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the message.
Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Now I don't know about you, my friend. I don't know where your journey will end. But as for me and all of mine, we're gonna make that heavenly climb up to that heavenly shore. We'll live forevermore. Never have a worry, never have a care. Everything will just be happiness there. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get happy, it's heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Some folks seek and never find happiness and peace of mind, but I have peace within my heart, since with the Savior I've made the start. Up to that heavenly shore we'll live forevermore. Never have a worry, never have a care. Everything will just be happiness there. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I can have this heavenly way. Cause sweeter gets the journey every day.
Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. The Lord's changed my mind on the message three times. this week, but after the testimonies and different things that's been said, I know we're in the right message for tonight. So if you have your Bible with you tonight, open it up to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. He's let me do a Christmas message tonight. And I just thank the Lord for this time of year. Thank the Lord for being here tonight. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll read some scripture here in just a minute. Lord, we thank you for this day and this opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you just hide me behind the cross, Lord. Let nobody see me. Just let them hear your message, Lord. That you'd the message you'd have apply it to our hearts, apply it to our feet, apply it to our minds. Let us do with it what you'd have us to do, Lord. Let this church and everybody in here and all your people, Lord, be lighthouses always, pointing unto you, but especially right now in this time of the year, Lord. Let us all remember that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. This is the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. Preacher was talking about last night, I believe it was. Maybe last Sunday, I believe it was. About the book of Isaiah being wrote some 750 years before the birth of Christ. So 750 years before Christ was born. Somewhere in that time frame is when this scripture was noted or is adhered to as far as being wrote. And it says in chapter number 9 and verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." 750 years before he was born. So this is what I'm, my message tonight, title for the message tonight is No Room for Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. If I tell you I'll come see you next week, you're going to be looking for me, ain't you? So when Isaiah told the people, "For unto you a child is born, for unto us a son is given," they were looking for him, don't you think? They were looking for him. Some of the Jewish people still look for him. They don't. They're still looking for the Messiah. But they were looking for him. From this time, they were looking. You remember, maybe the conversation would go on after this was read that, you know, Isaiah talked about the Christ, the Messiah. And this would go on and on and on for these years and pass down generation after generation. But they were still looking for this Messiah. Now turn over to the book of Luke. We've been in Luke chapter 2 all day, so we're not going to change anything. Luke chapter number 2. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now, I want you to think about going to Walmart right now. Let's just all pack up and go to Walmart. Why not? How do you think Bethlehem was right now?
You're right.
They had to all go back to where they was born to be taxed. So, imagine right now if everybody has to be in Terrible that was born out of Terrible, that's still alive, everybody's got to come back to Cherville and be here by Christmas Day. Okay? So that we can count them and tax them. Now that's what's going on in Bethlehem right now. So everything where there's normally a little city that you might pass a few people, you know your neighbors and everything else, these people here you ain't seen in forever.
Yeah, you're right.
These people that were born here and left as a baby and now they got to come back to be counted and be taxed. There's people everywhere. People everywhere. Think about it. It's just in Bethlehem, just like it is today, you go to the mall.
Yeah.
Where do all these people come from? Do that many people really live in the county that the mall's in? They're everywhere. There's not an open parking spot. They're parking on the curbs. They're parking in the grass. They're parking on the street. They'll park three cars in a motorcycle parking spot. It was crowded. Probably bumping into the street. Well, they've been told about this coming Messiah for 750 years. But it ain't on their mind. It ain't on people's mind today.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
It's not on people's mind today. There's still people there telling about him. Still people there talking about him. Are we still talking about him? You know, 8 days after, I'm going to jump forward right here, 8 days after Christ was born, they took him to the temple. And the two that were there at the temple, he said, "Now I've seen the Christ."
Yeah.
And then Anna, she was well stricken in years, well old, and she was there to rejoice. So these people were still looking for Jesus, and they were still telling everybody they could. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The time's not no different. It's still busy. It's still busy. But it's even there's even more trying to take Christ out of Christmas now.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it yet. He was fixing to be. But the busyness of the season, it was busy then. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Very busy people everywhere. 760 years they've been talking about and looking for Christ. And today, like at Walmart, like I said, they're looking for Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
They're looking for Christmas gifts. And people today will worry themselves to death over Christmas gifts.
You're right.
And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. If somebody gave me something last year and I didn't have nothing to get them, I've worried about it for 12 months. Okay? And I know y'all just as guilty as a lot of other people are. You buy extra stuff and you wrap it,
yes,
and you leave the name blank so that when somebody gives you something, you can look, go over there and look and say, "Oh, I forgot yours in back yonder." And you run back there, you done told a lie. You go back there and write the name on the gift and you bring it out there.
Lord help.
We worried about giving a Christmas gift. We worried about giving a Christmas gift. And it's not necessarily wrong to give Christmas gifts, don't get me wrong. But are you giving the gift? What reason are you giving the gift? Are you giving the gift because you're trying to give them one because they give you one just to look equal or better? You know, Steve talked about the other week running into a lady, I believe it was at the doctor's office. And she didn't have nothing. And he gave her the money he had. Now, he gave that was a gift he gave from his heart because, one, he wasn't expecting a gift in return. And two, he give a gift he knew couldn't be returned. She had nothing. Now that is true giving. And I'm not putting Steve up on a pedestal. But that's what we all need to be like.
Yes, sir. Help us, Lord.
I mean, I could take my kids and what can I give them they don't already have? That's why Christmas is so unappreciated as far as a gift goes.
You're right.
Everybody gets everything they want. From the little kids to the big adults all year long.
Go ahead.
If you really want something, we go get it. If it's expensive, we go get it. We go in debt. We don't pray about it and accept God's answer. We try and figure out how to circumvent God, which means go around God,
yeah,
and get it.
Bless him, Lord.
But that's extra. There was not an empty room, no place to even camp out. Nothing. Because everybody that was from there was there. I mean, think about it. You go to Lincolnton on a normal day, there's 2-3 motels in Lincolnton. How hard would it be to find a hotel room in Lincolnton on a normal day? It's not. You got your pick. But when the Little League World Series is in Shelby,
yeah,
or a playoff football game is in Charlotte, or a big race is in Charlotte, guess what's in Lincolnton? You can't find an empty hotel room.
You're right.
Because of what's going on. And they'd kind of frown on it if you go pitch a tent on the courthouse square. Okay? The same thing in Bethlehem. They won't let you just pitch a tent anywhere. No empty spots. You know, over the holidays, we'll be in homes full of people. Full of friends and family. Might not be no empty seats. Is there room for Jesus?
Lord help.
You know? When we go to that friend that we used to run around with. And you know they'll probably be getting ready to party at their Christmas party, and you, or they're going to come halfway partying when they get to your in-laws party or wherever you're going. You know they're going to be there. Or are you going to just sit there and keep your mouth shut? Or are you going to tell what God done for you, even though they don't want to hear it?
Help us, Lord. Good, brother.
Not an empty room. Not an empty seat. There, you know, there's not an empty refrigerator. It shouldn't be right now. Ours is full. And we'll be bringing food and making food for the next week like there's nobody's business. We'll be going to places to eat dinners, and you know, we'll be sitting on the floor, and we'll be sitting everywhere else. So we're going to lock Jesus out at Christmas. So when they got there, they were in a stable. Could have been a cave. Why did Jesus come to be born in that situation? Why would God send him like that? So he could reach everybody. He had to. Now let's talk about the rest of the verses there. In verse 6 again it says, "So it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." She probably walked for 3 days to get to where she's at, by the way. It's a 90-mile journey. Now, how many of us is going to walk 30 miles a day? Pregnant, ready to have a baby, and walk for 3 days. I couldn't walk for 3 days. I couldn't walk 90 miles in 3 days. But think about that. She's pregnant and walked 3 days to get to Bethlehem. And there's not a bed to lay down on.
Lord.
She's maybe in an old rock floor cave or a lean-to shelter. Any of y'all ever cleaned out stables? They ain't the cleanest place in the world. And imagine that old rocky floor. You know you can't get everything out of them cracks and crevices in the rock. So now that's where she's at and ready to have this child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now I want to talk about swaddling clothes for a minute. You can read two different ideas on this. Now swaddling, that word, when you have a baby now, they take this nice pretty white blanket.
Yeah.
And they lay it down and kind of fold it in a semi-triangle. And they wrap one arm up in it and wrap another arm in it. Got their legs up in it. Just wrap them up like a pretty little bundle. It's because they're used to being in the mother's womb. And it's comforting to them. It confines them. They don't wiggle around too much. It makes them feel comfortable and safe. And they're swaddled up. That's swaddling in a blanket. And some people are of the theory that she just swaddled Jesus like that in rags or whatever they had with them. And you know, it's not a picture of that pretty clean blanket and things like that. But I'll tell you another thought, and I lean more towards this way. This is my opinion. I can't prove it. But because of their culture and everything, when they go on these long journeys, you know, they're traveling with almost everybody in their family, the old people, young people, and everything else. Well, things can happen to people. People can pass away on these trips and things like that. So they talk about that most of the men, especially the men, they carried this garment wrapped around them. It's a long piece of cloth that they wrap around them. And that's what they called, another thing that they called swaddling clothes. And what it was for burial. So that they could wrap, if they died, they could wrap them in it and bury them in the midst of their journey. And that's what I believe it was, because Jesus Christ was born to die for our sins. And it symbolizes, and you know, being wrapped in those swaddling clothes, I mean, he's wrapped in burial clothes. He had to come to die.
Yeah.
You know, he had to. You think about what Wayne said, and I don't know who all heard it, you know, when it talks about in Genesis that God said everything God made was good. Everything was good. Everything was good. The only thing God ever had a regret about was man. He repented. It angered, you know, man angered God. And if it hadn't been for Noah finding grace,
thank God.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we wouldn't be here. You understand that? Noah, it says in the Bible, Noah
yes,
found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Sure
So that saved Noah. If Noah would have been the only one saved by God's grace, we still wouldn't be here.
You're right.
So Noah's wife was saved. And his sons and their wives were saved. And Noah preached for 120 years. And nobody else got saved. Nobody else repented of their sins. So God let Noah, told Noah to build the ark. And all this time he's preaching in the hampering of what's going to happen. And nobody believed him. And God shut that door.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
All right, listen, I believe what the Bible says. If the animals got on, the animals listened to Noah and got on that boat, exactly like it says in the book, Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives. And that took place and it wiped the face of the earth clean.
Yes, sir.
And then they left. If it hadn't been for Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, we wouldn't be here. Okay? Do we please God every day in what we do? No, sir. No. God still saw that there needed to be. This was in plan from the beginning. That there would have to be a sacrifice.
Yes. Amen.
In these times, the times of Noah and everything else, they had to get together and make a blood sacrifice and sacrifice to God for their sins. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. And I'm going to tell you something. If I had to kill an animal, a pigeon, a sheep, or anything, for every time I do bad, I'd never get nothing done but killing animals. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Just because I'm up here preaching, but don't think I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. There ain't enough animals. No, sir. There's not. But Jesus said, I'll go.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The ultimate sacrifice.
Yes.
Now listen, if you get in under this blood, you don't have to keep sacrificing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. If you'll notice this flower up here, it's got some white in it and some red in it. Priest, you're talking about look around and see Jesus. Well, if you can't see Jesus in that, you're in trouble.
You're right. Go
the
ahead.
Purity of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. But he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, that burial garment, born to die for our sins. This was his purpose. All the miracles and teachings he did was out of his compassion for
us.
His purpose was to come and die for our sins. He knew what awaited him, yet he still went and laid down his life so we could have eternal life. You know, it talks about he prayed in the garden. And he said, he's talking about the cup passing from him. There's a lot of theories on that too. I don't think he was questioning God about his duty. He knowed he'd come here to lay down his life.
Yes, sir.
And he knowed it was foretold what was going to happen.
Yeah.
He told the disciples what's going to happen.
Yes, he did.
But he had to lay down his life. He had to lay it down. Nobody could take it.
Amen.
Just like he had to be born in that stable. If he was born in a castle, he'd have never been able to reach out to people like you and me.
No.
But he was born in a stable. Wrapped in death clothes.
Good, brother.
Good. So that we could have eternal life. And, you know, I'm guilty of it too. It's Christmas time and, you know, when we had little kids and put up that Christmas tree and you want it to be just stacked full of presents for our kids.
Yeah.
And they'll, when they were little, you know, 14, 15 things under the tree, you know, and they'd open them up and play with the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest gift we could get anybody is telling about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Not just on Christmas.
Go ahead, brother.
But especially at Christmas. When they give you that opportunity, they know you go to there and you know they're going to call on you to pray. They do it every year because you've always gone to church. Be a good Baptist and take a minute to tell them about Jesus. Tell them a little bit of the story of Jesus, what the meaning of the season
is.
And pray. The food ain't going to get much colder than it is when it's sitting out there already.
Preach.
But it's important. It's important to tell our other people about Jesus. It's important. It's important enough that somebody told you about him.
Yes, sir.
Making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes sweet melody for that flow, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Shoes on my feet and plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for this church to worship and pray, for the freedom that I have today. Sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real. Thank you,
being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, taking my place, mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord.
I just wanna thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Saving my soul. That